This is Peter Davison, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 347. I'm Adam and Jelly Baby. Isabella Pearson's here.
You silly sausage.
Mary Lang.
I think she was a man back then. I'm fairly sure I was too.
Debbie Melrose.
Remember the Alamo.
Andy Nunny.
Oh, you're blue. Nice.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Santarans perverting the course of human history.
Huh? Remember that bit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that bit now.
All right, so yeah, this week we're looking at the finale. I'm going to call it finale because it's two episodes, and I can never remember titles. Apart from the Doctor Falls, that's an easy one to remember. It's the finale, both episodes. We're looking at them tonight. No quiz because I haven't had time to do the questions.
But listen.
Next week, we're doing a review of all of Series 10, and there will be a quz after that.
Ooh, fine.
And
when I say a review of the whole Series 10, we're not going to do a complete synopsis of every episode. We're just going to briefly overlook them. And everybody, picking your top, your episodes in order of preference, like we did last time. So, yeah. Mm.
So, Adam, when you say Series 10, you mean John Pertwee's Ford series?
Right, let's get on. So, the finale begins with the TARDIS landing and the Doctor falling out and showing, no! And sort of looking like he's going to start regenerating. His hair looks curiously long particular scene.
Yeah, it does.
Because I'm thinking it was probably filmed quite
that
recently.
That face is like...
Yeah, so he looks like he's going to regenerate and go, no! And then we get the title sequence.
Like Luke Skywalker.
I reckon that... But what's his name? Nick the idea off some writer, was it Russell T. Davis, using a regeneration as a sort of cliffhanger-y type thing.
No, I think they nicked it off Star Wars with their no.
Yeah,
they kind of did.
Right, so I'll just let the viewers and the listeners know that World Enough and Time was the title of the first part of the finale.
Oh, thank you. So, I forgot to put that.
Then we're in a sort of strange-looking spaceship, which we find quite quickly is sort of not quite big. In a black hole, but it's very, very big. We have miles across. Did we think that the exterior flying over shot that they did was quite similar to the Trial of a Time Lord bit, where they did the flying over of the...
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I did something
wrong. It was nodding to a lot of Classic Who, a lot of this last two stories.
Yeah, so anyway, so the TARDIS materialises.
I thought Red Dwarf, actually.
Yeah, you had someone painting the outside.
Yeah, I suppose you could be right there.
Or Spaceballs.
Yeah. Never seen it.
Well, Spaceballs. I think I might have seen Spaceballs.
I can't remember it.
Anyway, so the TARDIS materialises and Missy steps out and we have few moments of light-hearted stuff, which is absolutely delightful. Yes.
I did not like the whole I'm Doctor Who business.
No, I did like that.
No, I liked it.
Because it was totally in context with the way things are and she's taking the mickey out of the Doctor. I thought that worked really, really well. And in a way...
name, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all you ever hear from people in the series. Oh dear, you're right there, Andy.
Cable.
Oh, that's a bit of a worrying shot there. That's obviously.
Behave yourself, Melrose.
You had Debbie earlier on. I hope nobody else is going to try that one. I'm sorry about that, Isabella. You weren't looking, were you, at that particular point?
I really enjoyed was the way she was throwing the companions, disposables, and things like that.
Kirby
was hilarious.
Kirby has just brought a cat into the room.
Is that Serafina?
It sounds like the cat is saying,
This is Annie.
Annie, they're completely wrong.
Obviously, Kirby's already bored with the proceedings.
No, she. You couldn't hear her, but she was meowing from the other side of the room.
We couldn't hear her. We could all hear her.
Please,
Andy's yawning already, which is a good start.
Sorry.
Right, so yeah, Missy is in her element. She's essentially, they've all got earpieces in because the doctor is trying to direct them in this particular scene while sitting out eating.
I love
how
he's just eating crisps.
I think the doctor, while he's in the TARDIS, did mention that time at the bottom of the ship is moving faster than time at the top.
Not yet.
Okay, I apologise.
No, that doesn't come until after Bill has been snatched away.
Okay, I apologise. I have only seen these stories once. Okay, can I hear a dog barking?
Yeah.
Is she outside?
Sounds like Star. Should I go chat?
Get her in.
Okay.
Right, so
a star in her eye.
Anyway, so yeah, Missy is having a great fun being the doctor. And being a doctor and being able to take the Mickey out of the doctor at the same time. Meanwhile, a strange face appears on the rather badly rendered communications screen. And eventually he arrives. It's a blue person. I don't know if it's a blue person related.
Yeah, don't originally know he's blue.
Yeah, because of the grey.
That's what I just said. It was a badly rendered thing, but eventually he comes in the room and he's blue. There's something.
Who's human? Which one of you's human?
Yeah. And of course it's Bill, and Bill gets shot through the middle, rather like what's that film you used to watch from Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn, where
Death becomes her.
Yes.
Death becomes
Master.
Essentially, that's what happens to Bill. Yes.
She should have collapsed upon herself because her spine was gone.
Yep. Kirby, it's a science fiction fantasy series.
Program.
Yeah, well done, thank you. Yeah, so you're right, she should have done that, but she didn't. Anyway, she got deaded. Then we have sort of a flashback to the doctor, to her telling the doctor, no, you're not going to get me killed, are you? Scenario.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try not to. That was really good.
Which you cannot promise. Yeah.
Well, at least he didn't promise. And of course she's deaded, so that she gets taken downstairs while the rest of them sort of worry about what's actually happened. And the doctor at this point then leaves the TARDIS and joins them.
She won't get me killed.
Yeah. Then we see some rather spooky sort of zombie type people wheeling around drips.
I just call them people.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. If I were Isla, that would scare me.
Yeah, she was hugging pretty tight, I must say.
Yeah.
Did she manage to sit through the whole thing and watch it, though?
Yes, I kept asking her if she wanted to, you know, stop or pause, and she was like, no.
Now, this blue man, he did not look like Hugh Bonneville. I thought he was at one point.
I said his name was Jeff.
Yeah.
He's also, they also shine a blue light on him to enhance the effect, I noticed as well. So meanwhile, Bill is sort of operating theatre. They've replaced a heart with a mechanical one.
Heart.
She's
out of time, Laura. She only has one heart.
Did I say hearts? Did I say
hearts?
Yes,
you
did.
You said hearts, plural.
No, you didn't. No, you said hearts,
singular. Me up. Okay, you know what I meant, so I'm not going to say it again. With a mechanical one. Of course, being that we've had spoilers about this story, we knew it was going to be a cyber situation. Ninja. Unfortunately, this is where spoilers
I told you that she was going to be converted.
Yeah, so she gets out of bed and has one of these sort of drips that she can wheel around as well.
Pain.
Pardon?
Pain.
Yeah. Kill me.
That was really good, actually.
Kill me.
Yeah, that was well done, really. Yeah.
I love
everyone who said, and even she turned the volume down. Now, obviously, when you see these characters with their sort of knots on their heads, I said to Debbie, well, these are the beginnings of the Mondasian Cybermen. So we knew that was some sort of... Did anyone pick up on that fairly quickly?
Yeah, obviously.
I picked up, like I said, Master, like I said, I picked up on it during the coming soon. Yeah. The preview.
Okay, so you didn't anything to do with the spoilers that you normally look out for then?
Kirby,
no, I didn't get it.
Kirby, you look frighteningly like Blofeld stroking the camera.
I remember
us people who can see these pictures on Skype, but I'll have to do a screenshot.
Someone take a picture said, of it. Die.
Yeah, get
me.
A picture of it and post it.
Yeah, I've just taken a picture. I can't post it because I'm busy.
I remember one of them said, die.
Anyway, then,
me.
Shut up. And we, did they?
Yeah, one of them
yeah,
said,
he goes, die, me.
I promise I'm saying shut up.
Yeah.
Because normally what you say has no relevance whatsoever with the subject matter of the show. Then we meet this sort of this strange chap with the hat and the bad accent.
Fagin.
Mr. Razor.
Yeah, Razor. Yeah.
Fagin.
Now, within about 10 seconds of him being on screen, no. Deb said, that's the master.
Yeah, me too.
10 seconds. It
no,
literally was that.
I didn't
figure it out until he pulls the
his
eyes.
Yeah,
his eyes just give it away.
Yeah, his eyes gave it away. Yeah.
It's also
the way he worked. His phrasing was a bit John Simmy as well.
His accent was just rubbish.
And the accent was rubbish.
But straight out of Babylon 5, that character was there.
No, had me totally fooled.
Okay.
No, he's totally fooled.
Half and half. But I don't know how long it would have taken me, but Deb picked it up instantly.
It was
not
immediate.
You. I mean the main one upstairs.
She
real
who
Debbie.
Must not.
Real Debbie upstairs.
She who is obeyed.
Sorry, that was a staggering stories reference.
Noticed.
Staggering stories.
I do notice the minute he offered the tea, I was like, that's John Sim. And then as soon as he said the tea thing, which was very similar to the way the master speaks anyway,
yeah.
It was like, yeah, he it's John Sim.
Yeah.
Bad disguise.
Very pleased with Deb, but not so pleased with myself. How long was it? You don't even know who the master was. You wouldn't have picked it up anyway. She went to bed.
Yeah, because I couldn't be bothered. I was tired.
Yeah, she was tired, but she wasn't freaked out. So she went to bed while there was sort of freaky stuff going on, especially during the finale. And watched it later. So yeah, Bill is still wandering around. Like I say,
she finds, sorry mate,
draws a curtain, sees a rather horrible looking city, and befriends Mr. Razor. Of course, knowing it's a master, you think, well, this is not a very good idea all the way through. But if you didn't know it was a master, you think, oh good, she's got someone to look after her while the doctor finds a way down.
Master. Bill is awfully trusting. I mean, she trusts the doctor and ends up getting killed, sort of.
Yeah,
and she trusts the master and ends up getting converted.
Yeah. Well, to be fair though, she hasn't really got much choice, has she? Who else is she gonna sort of give a little bit of trust to? Somebody offered her a bit of companionship. 10 years of it apparently.
I know it's like good tea or bad tea.
Yeah. So like we say, let's move along a little bit.
Like what horror? Mainly
interesting that the little TV that he's got in his room is very magpie-ish. And that TV is
I wouldn't be at all surprised if it says magpie on it.
Probably.
Yeah, I looked, but I didn't see it.
But it's also got what looks like a freeze frame on it. We find out that's a freeze frame because of the fact that time upstairs is going a lot slower than time downstairs.
I love the fact that they did the whole time dilation thing.
That really was
perfect.
Better. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So they've got to try and find a way down there. Actually, I think I've got to mention, just before Bill was carted away, the doctor said to her, wait for me or something like that, wasn't it? Wait for me?
Wait for me.
And that was in her subconscious mind. There was a horrible nurse as well, wasn't there? I forgot about her. She was a bit...
She didn't exactly
nurse
say
Ratched.
Her name.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't
she
say her name.
Horrible. Didn't she?
No.
How do you know she was called Nurse Ratchet then?
Yeah, how do
you?
No.
Oh, come on.
What? You know what we're talking about.
Do you know what they're talking about?
No.
Anybody else know what they're talking about?
Yes.
Not
you. Do you know, Andy?
Nah.
No, thank you.
Yes,
so that's 1, 2, 3. 3-3 is a draw there as to knowing what they're talking about. We're on a podcast that got probably all the listeners going, huh?
All the listeners know too.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
You can guarantee if half of us don't know,
then
half of the listeners
won't know.
When
we go back in the comments, they're going to say, yes, we do.
Never mind.
Probably, actually.
Yes, you lot of rubbish. Right then, so...
talking about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Not much on the telly for them, thank you. Have you ever seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Travesty!
No.
Never seen it.
So basically, the Master and Bill are on floor 0, the Doctor is on floor, God knows what, quite a long way up.
No, it's the other way around.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Isabel. I do apologise.
They just look at her like, what are you doing?
Did they? Stop referencing other programmes.
I'm sorry. No, they just look at her. And Magic doesn't.
Magic's sound. Barking because Star had a scratch a little bit too close to him.
I'm just stroking her.
Be quiet. Be quiet.
Yes, sir.
Right. So, stupid dog.
I'll leave her alone.
I'm just moving on. Oh, yeah, then there's a sort of... Bill sees a sort of a ghostly figure of the Doctor because she's just remembering in her subconscious Oh, stop being annoying, you two.
She loves
play with Star, for God's sake.
I am.
Yeah. They have a little stroll outside, but Bill is told that if she leaves the hospital, she will die, I think. Was that right?
Yes.
So they leave the hospital for a little while.
the way they imply that the second she leaves, she'll die, but it turns out it's after a bit of a walk.
But you can see
the floor number.
Yeah, we can see that in the sky everywhere, can't you? But you know, a lot when you look at these scenes, it's so clearly John Sim. But I do like the fact that they have
it
the
is
master.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. I do like the fact that, but it wasn't the time.
What was the floor number?
Completely fooled, and I loved
something,
it.
I do like the fact they brought disguise back to the master. Even if it is a bit briefly.
I love his goatee as well.
Yes.
And
the Doctor does a bit of Venusian Aikido as well. We must reference this.
There are references everywhere.
About that, Kirby.
They crammed in as many references as they could in the last day.
Eventually, 10 years later, apparently, they all go down in the lift. And, Bill gives the master a hug and then gets carted off to have to be turned into a cyber person. Because we also see a little bit of a hint of it when they show you the next stage of the transformation. And unfortunately, just as the Doctor and Missy and Nardole arrive, it's just too late. And then, of course, Missy's on her own and... the master comes around the back and says, oh, you don't remember this then, blah, 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 blah.
Hurry up, you should remember this. Come on. Yeah.
So he does the big reveal and she's rather fantastic, but she still doesn't really remember. And then the Doctor bumps into Cyber Bill with a tear in her eye when you zoom into the IFP itself. What I should have done for my quote is what the master said, give us a kiss.
Yeah.
I do like how worryingly close they get in the second episode.
That's so good.
Should I be feeling like this? Not at all.
No, but that's the master, isn't it? That's so.
I love how they went, hold me, kiss me, make me.
Yeah.
Which I had to go to the to subtitles to find out what it was she said, because at first it sounded like she says rape me. I'm going, what?
Yeah, that would be a bit inappropriate, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be.
That's why Mary had to double check.
Well done, Mary. Well done for double checking. Otherwise, it could have been a very awkward conversation we'd be having right now if she hadn't double checked. So they suddenly are on. This is episode 12. By the way. They're on floor 15. Stop tapping.
507.
What's that noise?
It's Andy.
That was me. Sorry.
15:10. So it looks a bit like a farm. And of course, this was a reference to the scarecrows in Family of Blood story, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was so good. That was.
That dog's really whining. Isn't it? Can you throw something?
Stop it.
Can you deal with the dog? Because I can't reach because you're. Don't. You missed him.
Sit.
to tell you, by the way, Master, I was also fooled in Castro Valva by the Master being in disguise. So I'm gullible.
You're just not a disguise guy.
I'm thinking the only time I was fooled with one of the Master disguises, sort of, was in Time Flight. I think that's the only one that it didn't quite catch me on until it was.
And I have not seen Time Flight.
I know you've said this before. You don't have to say it every time you reference Time Flight. You do not have to say I have not seen it. We know you have not seen Time Flight. Do you know that Kirby hasn't seen Time Flight?
Yeah.
Right. The DVD's right over there.
All right, shut up.
Don't do it.
They
I plan to because we're going through journey. The journey. The journey.
We'll get to it.
No. Be quiet. No. So there's a little black girl who I thought was they'd flash back to a young Bill. Initially.
I thought it was going to be Bill that he basically picked up for a bit. I did think they were going to basically he was going to find Bill as a child and take Earth and do that.
Yeah.
For a minute.
That's what I thought too. I thought that was Bill as a child. Yeah.
That was a great.
I didn't.
In that.
I guess I'm the only person who didn't think that.
Maybe well, I was hopeful, you know. It was
well, I wouldn't put it past Moffat to do something like that. He does like the old reset, doesn't he?
Yeah, with Moffat, anything is possible.
I was kind of hoping that we weren't going to tie it all up like we did, because I was hoping that they were going to do something different at the end, and they didn't. No, I was just like, please, God, don't be. Oh, it is. Never mind.
So, switching back to where we are. So, basically, we've got a house under siege. Good old Doctor Who stuff.
Yep.
What do they do when all these proto-Cybermen die out there after being tied up as scarecrows? Do they just wait for them to die and then chuck them in?
They're scarecrows. That's all they have to do, surely.
You can see they're moving. They're still alive.
Yeah,
they shoot them.
I wonder which one is friend of the show, John Davey.
One was moving, but I didn't see any of the others move.
Oh, several are, and some of the long shots.
Hands are moving, and you can see sort of twitches and things going on that aren't obviously wind.
Okay, anyway, the spaceship sort of flies up through the soil and lands on it, and inside is a cyber person carrying a rather ill-looking doctor, and that's obviously the beginning of the episode.
We knew that was Bill. I mean, it wasn't just a cyber person. We knew that was Bill.
And then there's a scene in which the Master and Missy have sort of got the Doctor tied in a chair, a la the two-part story with David Tennant left. What was that one called? End of Time Part 1 and 2, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's End of Time Part 2, to be specific. That was another sort of throwback, which is quite interesting, because obviously that was it was that version of the Master that tied him up in the chair.
And all sorts of references about ways... they're asking him about various ways he's died before regenerating.
I heard they were just waltzing on the roof.
Yes, they were just waltzing on the roof while they were sort of threatening the Doctor with death. Doctor not particularly worried about the death sort of scenario.
They were thinking of throwing you off the roof.
Right, Debbie and Andy would have points deducted. Not Andy, because he actually started speaking before Deb tried to interrupt him there. So, Andy, please say what you're going to say.
I can say that dance scene was like Doctor, like Jack and Rose, when they're dancing on the airship.
Yeah, that's a good point. What were you going to say, Andy? Sorry, Debbie.
Wasn't important.
Oh!
Yes, it was.
Oh, I'm going to take a picture of her face there. That was very pretty. I like that face. We'll have to try and get her to do that a bit more often, won't we? Go on, Debbie.
The way that they're trying to speculate how many lives he's got left, because we could just keep throwing you off the building, but then we're
going to do it. Oh, I love that. Yeah.
See, it was well worth waiting for after all, wasn't it? Anyway, so I do love these scenes with because obviously Sims Master and Gomez's Missy are both absolutely fantastic characterizations.
Yes.
So
they nail it, don't they? Yeah. They absolutely nail it.
And, I just don't like the ending.
It's just wonderful.
It's typical Master, Isabella. Don't worry.
I could use a few more expletives in this particular instance, but without her here, I won't. So I'm just moving for that. So just absolutely wonderful scene. Which does go on a little bit, but it's worth it. The Doctor, meanwhile, has a plan, and he's done something. When Missy bumped into him, he was able to enter something on the keyboard and change the preferences to two hearts.
Oh.
So.
Master?
Yes, dear.
Master?
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear.
All of those planets that, when the Doctor's saying how Cybermen appear spontaneously and he mentions Mondas, Telos, Earth, Planet 14, and Marinus. The Planet 14 and Marinus thing are from a comic, from one of the Doctor Who comic books, an adventure with what's the name of the penguin?
Frobisher.
But they do actually make, and also Planet 14 is mentioned by in the Invasion.
Yeah, David Banks.
The controller, the cyber controller.
David Banks.
No, I'm talking about the second Doctor story.
Yeah, I can't remember which one you mean, what his name was now, because he was in the Colin Baker one as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, but Planet 14 was mentioned as by the cyber controller in that story.
Okay.
And also, that comic makes it sound like Planet 14 and Marinus are the same planet. And yes, it's the Marinus of First Doctor story.
Keys of Marinus.
Keys of Marinus.
Oh.
Which I hated that story.
Ooh.
Everyone else loved it. I hated it.
Oh. We all hated it.
Anyway, so
no, we didn't.
The Doctor basically sets the Cybermen on all of them, which I think makes them decide to leave. I don't know how the Doctor gets out of that situation. They take him with him. Oh, it's a lovely point in which the missy says, I was on your side all along. She knocks out the Master.
Yeah.
But we still don't know if she really is telling the truth.
But silly sausage.
As the Doctor holds her hand, it sparks a bit of emotion in her, which is quite curious.
It's an interesting emotion, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, I love the next scene.
That's, Nardole appears, that's right. The Doctor talks into his sonic screwdriver and Nardole appears.
Look what I found in the house.
But not before a Cyberman grabs the Doctor from behind and sends a lot of some electronic energy through him that doesn't seem to be doing him much good.
And then,
Bill comes in and shoots the offending Cyberman.
That's shocking development is obviously what's triggering the beginning of the regeneration.
I would think so.
Yeah, yep.
But quite a few things happen to him after that, which won't help that side of things out. That's how Bill ends up in a farmhouse and be looked after by a load of humans.
He's like, what was that, Doctor? You
but what's first brilliant time? About this scene is the fact we see Bill as she is and how she sees herself. That works so well.
But Dad,
when we had
yes,
that,
it did.
What? I just loved the scene before. It's like the Doctor's dead. He's told me he never liked you.
Yeah.
The farmhouse scene was just like straight out of the there's another one with a farmhouse where
it struck me as Night of the Living Dead. It was very Night of the Living Dead, that bit.
No, there's a Capaldi story where
yeah,
he's in
the one where he goes on Gallifrey and he's a little boy in the farmhouse. I know which one you mean.
Yeah,
yes, it's very,
yeah,
very
it
much
looks like
that,
that,
wasn't it?
What are you on about? You haven't seen it, you
no,
silly
I have.
Girl. No, you haven't.
Yeah, I have.
Anyway.
Once you start looking at throwbacks in these episodes, you start stretching it and looking for throwbacks that maybe aren't there or were not
that thing I think might not be, but it did feel like it. I will say that the farm woman, the woman farm, who comes in and sees Bill and sees her as the Cyberman, she played Barbara Windsor in a dramatisation of Barbara Windsor's life. And she was so Barbara Windsor. She's a really good actress, actually. She's a very good character.
Yes, her name is Samantha Spiro.
Yeah, very, very good.
Or Spiro.
I thought she looked familiar. I couldn't place her.
So, yeah, at some point, of course, then the little boy girl comes in and sees Bill, and they're sort of afraid of her, but they trust her to a certain extent. But when the Doctor comes in to see her, that's when we see
her name's Alec.
Her for what she actually is, because she looks in the mirror. Actually, the little girl brings a mirror in, didn't she?
Her name's Alec.
What is?
The great thing is with the shadow, where she sees a shadow of a sign.
Her name's Alec.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Thank you, everybody. That's well done. I've just had a bridal inquiry come through. What stupid timing. They'll have to wait.
When they're talking to Bill, they're still looking down at her and at her eyes. It would have been really quite cunning if they'd actually made them look above her.
Yeah, look up. You're right.
Yeah. While they're talking to her, they're making it's like she is being made to feel human because they're looking at Bill, the actress, but they're not looking at what the would be natural focus of the eyes would be the obviously taller side of her. Yeah. Face. So that got me a little bit because I was like, well, yeah, because they're making it out that she's really human, and no, she's actually half a foot taller.
Yeah, okay, that's a minor thing.
Looking at it from her point of view, they are looking at her.
I don't have a problem. I know what you're saying, Deb, but I don't really have a problem with that. I don't understand why the girl insisted on bringing the mirror in for her. I know Bill's a bit confused, but I don't think that.
She asked for it, didn't she?
Well,
she did.
It was implied that she'd asked for it. Here it is, you know. Yeah.
And then the doctor comes in and very beautifully offers the girl a jelly baby.
Aww. Yes. Yeah.
And she's very polite, isn't she?
Yep.
She's
what?
Thank you. You're welcome.
Daddy, why can't I get one?
he has a jelly baby himself, which Tom Baker often didn't have a jelly baby himself, did he?
He's also got a bandaged up hand rather
like... Yes, he often did.
He's also got a bandaged up hand rather like Keith Lemon. Michael Jackson. And he's hobbling when he comes in and explains to Bill that she's actually a cyber person.
Cyberman.
All right, Cyberman. I'm not happy with her being called Cyberman when it's a woman. I know it's happened before, but just I find
Cyberwoman then.
We've had Cyberwoman in Torchwood.
That keeps making me remember that horrible Torchwood
story. It was horrible, but in a good way. It's a really good story. Although they did rather sort of sex up the Cyberwoman a little bit. But it was still very, very good.
The idea of the Cyberman was to not have like a sex, you know, defined sex.
Sorry, Andy. Just keeping Andy up again.
With the high heel.
Sorry.
Why are we talking about this?
Well, talking about what?
Because it's relevant.
The Cyberman, Cyberwoman.
Oh, you haven't seen the Cyberman. You haven't seen, you probably won't do for a while.
She cannot see Torchwood, no.
Can't. No. There's a Torchwood story, it's an adult Doctor Who series.
In which
there was a cyberwoman who was...
Isabella, it is relevant, but not to you.
You won't want to see
it.
Moving on. Okay. Yeah, so the Doctor and Bill are having a conversation, and it's a very... beautiful conversation and beautifully filmed, storytelling wise.
It's amazingly filmed.
It's just amazing. And I tell you what, she could get awards for her performance just in this episode.
Yes.
Because she was absolutely amazing. And it would be a shame if. I know they've left it open for her to come back to a certain degree, but I don't think they will bring it back, unfortunately, because I would imagine that a new producer would want to wipe it, have all my own people.
Because she's
stuff
joined
like that.
Heaven now. So I don't think
we're not there yet, though. Please. I'm just saying. That'd be a shame. It'd be nice to have her back.
And there's I'm too much of a spoiler.
Anyway, what's too much of a spoiler?
I am. I'm too much of a spoiler.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so she gets a bit cross and blows off the barn door.
You're not supposed to blow the bloody door.
Your pussy seems to be biting your finger there, Kirby. Oh, no.
Melrose, behave.
And then we have a little shot of the doctor wiping Bill's tear away and saying that you're a Cyberman, you shouldn't have any tears. That's a bit weird.
That was excellent. That was a lovely scene.
And then the master turns up.
He's like,
she's blown a bit of the barn off.
Soon. Any tips?
Yeah.
I'm going to be a woman very soon. Any tips?
That was good. Well done, Isabella. Yes, the master says.
I'm going to be a woman soon. Any tips?
Yeah, brilliant stuff.
I love it when he's practicing with the eyeliner.
Yes. 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 That was all about. I didn't take that one.
I take that as being, a womanish thing. I took that as being a making himself, as this episode continues, you notice he looks more and more like Roger Galdado.
Yes, that's true.
Because his beard keeps getting darker. He's putting the eyeliner on. That's what I took it to be.
Good point, Mary. By the way.
I love how he says any old broth.
I like Robo-mop as well.
Yeah, that was fantastic, Robo. Brilliant. So many good lines. I don't know who wrote this, but he's really good at writing
What
stuff.
I love is like how the way Bill's walking like a Cyberman.
Okay. Did you notice Bill is wearing the raggedy outfit that she was wearing, obviously, just before she was cyber converted. However, this is her, the way she imagines herself. But it's interesting that she lived for 10 years with the chest unit, the cyber chest unit, and yet she's not imagining that part with the raggedy clothes.
Oh, then thought of that. Does it matter?
I did wonder, because when she woke up and she the way she got up, I was like, where is her chest unit? Because it still looked like she had a lot of packaging. So I wondered at that point if the doctor had done something to her. At that moment, it looked like she'd had some sort of bandage or something had happened to her.
Doesn't look like, but she's not wearing it most of the scenes.
Well, but the doctor tells her that she is seeing things through a perception filter.
Yeah, right.
So she still sees herself in her old original way. Yeah, I don't think she ever.
She wouldn't want to see herself with her chest unit, would she? Yeah,
but she lived with it for 10 years.
So what? She has a perception filter. She never acknowledged it.
Okay.
Yeah, never acknowledged it.
No. So anyway, the doctor limps out on the field with the master and Bill. And yeah, they're sort of building up to a battle. So they know that the Cybermen are coming. Can you get that cat away from the microphone, Kirby, please?
Oh, Annie, you sound so nice.
Missy is showing signs of, you can tell in her eyes, because she's such an amazing actress, she's able to convey the not quite sure she's on the side of the Master or not, but the Master is me, so how can I not be on the side of me but be on the side of the Doctor? That sort of thing. She conveys it
she
so well with
there.
Facial expressions throughout this story.
Yeah. When the Master says, is the future going to be all girl?
Yeah, okay, you like those bits, don't you?
I know, I just like the Master's
bit. Any reference to the Master being a woman, she loves.
I'm at this point when going to be a lady.
My arm hurts.
Oh, dear.
What do you think about the Doctor being a lady?
I can imagine
it's
a lady.
Or a bitch,
she said. Anyway, let's move on.
He wants
that.
A lady doctor.
Stand aside.
Anyway, a lift door turns up, it opens, and a rather more modern-looking Cyberman comes out and gets killed
by
Bill. And
the Marshall's like, kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it.
The reason being, they're evolving, because obviously the time differences and different floors. What on earth
what was
that?
That was my phone.
Well, get it away from the microphone.
Well done, the Jeeves twins. Yeah.
Is Kirby's phone going off? Back to Andy.
I don't know what.
Okay, I've just turned off the
doctor
sound.
The doctor keeps on saying to the Masters that stay and fight. I've got responsibility to these people. It's much more fun to look after them and save them than it is to kill them. Well, no, I'm just saying, but that's...
He just said... Well done, the genius twins.
Oh, yeah, I know he said that. Yes. That was another brilliant line. You could have given me that one as a quote. You have got them all down
Bye.
There. Right, because that's you and your
you
sister.
I wanted to give you Jelly Baby because,
I took that one. I said to you, have you got any quotes? And you're going to delete that if you're not careful. It is a touchscreen device. Anyway, moving on. Margot, meanwhile, is trying to develop a device, as usual. That is quite effective against anything, and he sort of holds it very nonchalantly in his hand. He just fires it as if it's,
just a normal.
That was confusing to me at first, because suddenly their bullets were exploding things. Until I understood it eventually, but it was just strange that he was actually making the explosions.
Yeah, it's cool though.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Did you notice, though, that one of the guest actors, the extras in the background, looked very much like Danny? That's Clara's old boyfriend that got killed.
When she was a Cyberman.
Oh, you agree that he looks like Danny, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Nobody else notices that. I bet now.
Maybe he was a soldier.
Didn't notice him.
Okay, there was one that looked like Danny.
No, he died when becoming a Cyberman.
There's a shot of the Masters together holding, doing like a prayer thing, touching their foreheads with their praying hands.
Wait a minute.
Which was quite interesting.
Danny didn't die. He became the leader of the Cybermen.
He did, but he wouldn't be there as a person, would he?
No, he wouldn't.
No.
He would.
Yeah, it's a different set of Cybermen.
Yeah. He would still be traveling
maybe
the galaxy.
Maybe he's the Cyberman that stepped out of the
Cybermen. Trying to do good for the Cybermen, not make them kill.
Okay. Can we move on?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm now becoming a nerd. I really am, though.
The Master and Missy keep flirting with each other, which is always quite fun.
I love it.
It's getting a bit disturbing by this
point. Because Missy says to the master, you must have a TARDIS somewhere. And he says, I have, but the dematerialization circuit's gone.
I love that it's the standard dematerialization.
It's a bit smaller.
Circuit.
But,
it's exactly the same as the one.
I always love it when she's like, "Well, I seem to recall this really very scary woman telling me."
Very scary lady. Threw me against the wall and made a promise to always, always have a spare dematerialization circuit.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. But I still think that it's the same design dematerialization circuit, but it's a bit smaller than the one that Pertwee had.
Ian Kirk just commented on your live feed.
Did he? Has he said something nice?
You've got quite a few comments, actually.
Okay, well, you can tell me them in a minute when we got to the end of the...
episode.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're basically waiting for the invasion, and...
Okay, you're right, Master. What? You are correct.
What?
The demilitarization circuit is smaller than the one that they were playing with
That's why he's come some sort of... He doubts my ability to be right, even though it's always the case.
I thought it was a fidget spinner at first.
You did look
very
like
good,
that,
Dad.
Yeah.
Very, very topical, yes. I'm surprised they haven't made one, a dematerialization circuit fidget spinner.
Fidget spinner.
Whatever. So Nardole is being stalked by the lady who runs the farm. That reminds me a little bit of the Doctor being stalked by that woman in the Aztecs. A little bit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And what a brilliant scene in which she suddenly turns around and shoots a sideman that's walked into the room. It turns out to be Bill. Bill says, understand.
You mean Hazran?
What?
Bill, Nardole's basically
what on earth is that noise? Andy!
Nardole's definitely Andy.
Basically, Nardole's being stalked.
Well, it couldn't be anyone else because no one else is moving.
See, turning off your camera doesn't turn off your sound.
By Hazran. That's her name. Hazran.
Thank you. Hazran. Never mind. Yes, fancies Nardole. Yes. And Nardole's not too sure, to be fair. I think it's probably because he's a bit busy trying to save everybody's lives. The little girl is given an apple, which is highly explosive.
No, it's not Bill. It's the little girl.
I said that. Little girl?
No, you said Bill.
No, you said girl.
I said girl, and you will have a point deducted, and you'll do, back in then up when I clearly said little girl means you get a point deducted when we do the quiz next week. I'm sorry, I'm not
you
having
said
that.
Girl.
Yes, you said girl.
I did say girl. That's what I said. Everybody else is saying I said Bill.
I thought
you said Bill.
I don't know. Oh, she's backtracking. I'm deaf.
She's backtracking now.
I don't know. I'm
deaf. Guys, the whole apple thing is a setup for the joke about an apple upgrade.
Yeah.
Apple upgrade.
Brilliant. Yes, indeed. Didn't you, Mary?
But the apple is not what exploded. It was just a distraction.
Yes, it was. Thank you.
I love how they went, "You will not be harmed."
This is the point in which
you
I said,
upgraded.
Thank you. The Doctor sort of pleads with the Masters about, you know...
Yep, he did.
About, you know, it's why it's more fun to sort of help people, blah-de-blah-de-blah. I think Missy is convinced at this point. But the Master isn't, and the Master says, what does he say? So it's a really funny line at this point, as he tends to do.
Take a look at this face.
Bubble is kind.
This face has not been listening to you.
Yeah, that's it.
He said, I do what I do because it's right, it's decent, and above all, it's kind. It's just that, just kind.
Yeah, so what does Master say?
Master says,
I want her to say it. Shush.
This is a face that didn't listen to a word you just said.
I just said that.
Yeah, why did her to say it? She's got a great big list. She's got a novel of notes.
I'm not joking. You need to see these.
Andy, stop ruffling your microphone.
You worked so hard on these.
Right. Andy. Time to mute the microphone. That's quieter. Yeah, so... Again, the Doctor has one last high handshake with Missy to sort of try and get her on side. A load of Cybermen turn up, and a little bit of a battle ensues.
She's like, you will not be harmed, you will be upgraded. No thanks.
Yeah. But did we notice that some of the Cybermen are the ones were on Earth, the ones before they did the upgrade? Cyber...
Cybus Industry ones?
Cybus Industry ones.
They were Cybus Industry ones without the Cybus logo.
Yeah. Yes.
I just love Nardole's line when he says, where is it?
I'm still in power to kick your ass. Nope, she likes that line, so everybody's on the quiet.
Yeah, but why is he empowered to kick Bill's ass? I thought River Maid empowered to kick the Doctor's ass.
I don't know. How can... Well, when robots kick each other, I don't know.
Yeah, because Nardole's a bit of a cyber person himself in some ways, isn't he?
Exactly.
Yeah, he is.
Then we get to the scene where there's a hint that apparently the Doctor gave Missy the knife when they shook hands or held hands just before they parted, because Missy sticks that knife in the back of the Master. And then we have the scene in which the Master knows he's going to die, but he staggers in because Missy tells him that the Doctor's right.
So are you saying that the witch looks at the hand? And we think it's a meaningful moment. It's actually because she realizes he's given her a knife.
This is what some people are thinking, that Missy got the knife. No. I think it's most likely she's always got a knife on her.
She's always got a knife on her. That's a very Missy Master thing.
That's what I would think.
She said.
So anyway, so she stabs the Master. The Master sort of doesn't like the fact that she's decided that the Doctor is right, and that he basically shoots her in the back. And they all laugh while the Master says that don't even try regenerating.
It's time to stab the Doctor.
What?
That's what she said. It's time to stab the Doctor.
Yeah, and then the Master shot her and said don't even try regenerating because this is set on full power. And then he scuttles off to regenerate into her.
She died.
But we don't see that bit, unfortunately. It would be nice to have seen him to regenerate into her, wouldn't it?
Which makes me wonder because now... Who is going to be the Master that regenerates?
We don't know. You've got to bear in mind, Missy being Missy would have known that the Master was going to shoot her in the back. There's a possibility she could have had a contingency plan to stop him from killing her.
Because he said, oh, I've given you the full dose. You know, you can't regenerate. Don't but try.
She's lying there staring at the sky, which makes her look very dead.
Yeah.
But he's going down the elevator laughing.
Yeah.
So how do we know that he died?
Exactly. That's the cleverness of it, isn't it, really?
So which one of them is going to regenerate, I wonder?
The Master's got out of more stickier positions than that, to be fair.
I think the Master's actually going to regenerate into Missy.
Hang on a minute, let Isabella finish, Kirby. Go on.
I just have this feeling that I think the Master's going to regenerate into Missy.
Well done. That's
kind of implied.
Yeah, that's what happens.
The dialogue is that the stab wound is enough for him to get down and regenerate when he gets to the TARDIS.
Have a cup of tea, you know,
But this time he's not going to say, I refuse.
Master?
Yes?
I just posted a picture of Pertwee holding the dematerialization circuit and Missy holding the dematerialization.
Where you get time circuit to do all this stuff, I do not know, but well done.
I'm doing it right in front of you.
He's magic. He's doing it with his mind. Yeah, he's got the force.
Yes.
Plus, I've got this super powerful computer now that I used to not have.
He's being Nardole now. He's
deaf. Yeah, but it's not necessarily Missy's death. Like I said to you, she would have known that the Master was going to do that because that's in her past. Yes. So she can get out of it.
But she keeps saying she can't remember.
And they try and make out she's dead. Like I say, the Master's been in stickier positions.
How many times has the Master died?
Yeah.
Exactly. And then it just happens to show up again?
He got burnt to a cinder in Andy, Planet of Fire, which is quite an appropriate title.
Andy.
Right.
All we can hear is rustling.
Yeah. Right, so in the middle of a field, all the Cybermen show up and start shooting the Doctor, who is obviously not in the best condition anyway at the moment, and eventually falls.
He's getting better.
We see the regeneration energy in his hand, and he sort of says, no, again. And then he blows up the whole lot using the sonic screwdriver and some explosives.
Doctor, let it go.
No, it's the gas things underneath the ground.
He uses his sonic screwdriver. That's not a sonic screwdriver and lots of explosives then.
He triggers it with his.
Yes, but didn't he?
Right. He got yeah. He downloaded the program from Nardole's computer.
Yeah, but did he not use magically. His sonic screwdriver to initiate
it? He uses the program that he took from Nardole's computer
into his sonic screwdriver.
Yeah.
And then the sonic screwdriver triggers the mechanism.
That's what I'm saying, but I wanted to make it a bit more simple. It was in his, so he used his sonic screwdriver. Anyway, the doctor then does this all dying stuff. I thought I'd see stars, etc., etc.
No, he said pity, no stars. I'd hoped there'd be stars. They might still come, your friends.
That was going to be one of my quotes.
Was it? Anyway, right. So,
and this scene also, just before he blows up everything and he has the regeneration energy, it clears up a slight confusion. If anyone had been watching the previews, we saw him regenerating in that grassy substance, although it looked more like moss, and also we saw the regeneration with his hand in the snow, and we're going, what's going on? Two different locations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's also, I glossed over it a little bit, the fact that he's more or less said to Nardole that, yeah, you've got to basically look after a load of people now, so bye-bye. So that is it for Nardole. It's a bit of a shame.
No, Nardole said, well, the little girl said, they might still come, your friends. It was like,
what's that noise?
I don't know.
I thought it was a dog barking. Yeah, so if that is
Nardole. Probably Andy.
if that's the end of Nardole, it's obviously they've looks like they've written it as a proper goodbye, which is a real shame because I've really enjoyed having him in the series. Then we see the dead doctor on the battlefield, and
he's getting better.
Bill turns up and grizzles a little bit, and a couple of tears drop on him. And then a puddle appears, and Heather comes out of it.
What a surprise!
Well, I didn't know that was going to happen.
I did.
No, but yes, I expected this sort of ending.
We've been expecting this.
Why did you expect it? Were there hints to this?
Well, the tear is the hint.
At the end of the pilot, she was invited to go along.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean that Heather is going to show up.
It's Moffat. Yeah.
It's Stephen Moffat.
It is Moffat. You're right. It is Moffat.
Happens in the last episode every time.
But I don't mind it. It's okay. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Oh, I didn't mind it.
I didn't know that it was going to happen.
I was happy that they actually got together. I was just like,
no, I didn't mind it at all.
No. Heather turns Bill back into Bill. Well, sort of an alien version of Bill. Gives her a bit of a smooch. And then Bill says, well, can we save the Doctor, etc., etc.? So anyway, they get the Doctor back to the TARDIS, but he's not quite saved, because I said that bit wrong. Can we get the Doctor back to the TARDIS? Did that. But she's sort of forgetting to ask, really. I think she did forget to ask, although, shall we save him? She might have said that off camera, because obviously she must have done something to the Doctor starts to regenerate again. But essentially, Bill is okay, so she's got the decision whether to go off with Heather or come back and be a human with the Doctor. But in the meantime, she's going to go off and have a bit of fun with Heather. Fair enough. So with the possibility of being brought back into the series.
And then she just kind of leaves the dead doctor.
but that's what I'm saying. This is where they it's a bit weird that she didn't say.
A little weird.
But Kirby, the way she says it, she's like, well, you're going to be needed eventually and you will come back.
Yeah, but you would expect her to say, well, can you sort of bring him back? Can you do something to the doctor? But she didn't. Because obviously she said she can do anything, this Heather.
Remember, her tear drops on him.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, the regeneration energy starts right where that tear drops.
Yeah, good point.
The last thing she said to the doctor. There's a big universe out there. I hope I can see you again.
Good. Well, I hope so too, because we were relieved that the only bit of Clara we saw was in one of the next sequences, which was again a throwback to Logopolis, but a beautiful throwback where they go all the companions going Doctor, which is absolutely lovely. But at this point, I thought we were going to see a surprise proper regeneration, because it's about time we didn't see the new Doctor until he actually appears on the screen. So that's never going to happen, but it could have happened here if they played the cards right. But they missed an opportunity.
That's what they're going to do. I'm expecting a surprise actor at the end of the Christmas special.
I'm not. They're going to announce pretty soon, I reckon, the replacement.
What is that noise?
Oh, that's it's traffic going past Andy's house.
Not me!
Probably a plane going past Andy's house. So the Doctor wakes up and starts regenerating, but he refuses to.
Says all sorts of things that he said during regenerations.
Yeah.
Including my quote.
He's fed up with changing, etc., etc. So the TARDIS lands and he steps outside, and again, he's going to regenerate. He doesn't want to. Slams his hands on the ground after nearly regenerating.
Where have you taken me?
And then the First Doctor turns up.
I love that. Absolutely love it.
I'm the Doctor.
Now, where I'm thinking that framing this First Doctor turning up bit is the bit where in 10th Planet when the Doctor leaves Polly and Ben in that sort of laboratory thing, and the next time they meet him, he's in the TARDIS. So he must have got from A to B, and there's something must have happened between A and B, and I reckon this is where they're pitching the meeting before the First Doctor regenerates and before the 12th Doctor regenerates.
I plan to watch at least the last episode of the 10th Planet this evening.
It's a shame it doesn't exist properly.
Yeah.
But that's basically...
So what is the fate of being a Doctor companion is that you get to run off into eternity and maybe not ever see him again.
Mm.
I mean, Clara got to run off with me, and...
Yeah, well, not for you, did she?
Bill.
I thought that was Paul McGann. Right. But yeah, okay, let's talk about what we thought of the story. That was it, by the way. That was the end of the story. But now we've got like 6 blimmin' months and a bit more. No, a bit less than 6 months.
My dad's just sent some feedback.
Oh, good. Well, we can have that in a minute. Less than 6 months to Christmas to see, obviously, how this pans out. But right, this story, I'm talking about both episodes together as a story, was absolutely superb. Yes, Mary, it was superb. And I think the whole of this series has been fairly good, apart from a little dip in the middle when we had that the story with the monks. But brilliant story. Loved it. Hated what did you think of it, Isabella?
I actually thought it was amazing. I loved it, like when the master returned and like.
Even though you don't know who the master is, carry on. Carry on, sorry.
Don't disturb me when I'm talking. I love it when it's like Missy and the master, and I just loved them. Loved the episode. Loved it.
Okay, Debbie, what did you think?
Brilliant, sensational. Why hasn't he not written like this all the way through Capaldi's tenure? I mean, it's just, this was perfectly done for him.
He's been writing and producing Sherlock.
And same with, like, Paul McKee.
He was absolutely superb as the Doctor. Perfect, sumptuous, wonderful. This was a great two-parter. Everything in it you wanted from Doctor Who. I was really excited by last week's episode because I loved it so much. And I was hoping that last night's episode would be the grand spectacle it was going to be. And it was. It didn't disappoint. And out of all of this season, this has just been building up to perfect ending. And just to see, you know, the First Doctor at the end, Isla was just like, isn't that the one from the black and white one you watched? I'm like, yes!
Wow, good for her.
What's good is the fact, even though it's what's his name, the actor, David... Bradley, isn't it?
Bradley.
You couldn't wish for anybody more perfect to step into that role.
Although I'm kind of waiting for the Reigns of Castamere to play when he came on, but there you go. That's the Game of Thrones.
And a lovely little Harry Potter link there between that. Yeah, well, thank you, Debbie. Andy, what did you think?
It's a real Marmite episode, this. I mean, looking at comments on Facebook, it's been I loved it. I thought it was superb. I thought the way they brought David Bradley back into the First Doctor just blew me completely. I thought the way that Bill was seeing himself as a human being, but everyone sees a doctor as a Cyberman, was brilliant. I thought it was one of the best things we've seen for ages. I think Moffat really has. He's blown it away. I think it's superb.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Andy. Kirby, what did you think?
I absolutely loved it. And Andy, I have not seen any negative things. No, the only person who has said anything about it being Marmite is you.
What about Jeff? Jeff Wardle. I'm not sure if he liked it or not.
Oh, I don't know. We don't know yet.
Jeff said,
"Oh, improbable!
Oh my God! Wow! There was one of those ones of his."
Yeah,
probably, and we don't know what Mary's gonna say. Yeah. let me finish.
Oh, everybody's anyway, really waiting. Sorry, Kirby.
I was very worried because Moffat has disappointed with the second part of two-parters before. Mm. So I was thinking, because the last week was so fantastic.
Yeah,
In some ways, last week's was a little stronger, a little better, if you look at the two sections individually. Although I love the ending of this one, of the second part. But this is just superb. Some of the best Doctor Who ever. Mm. And unfortunately, I can't get Julia to watch it.
It's a shame. She missed out.
She was so disappointed in many of the episodes of the 10th series that she refuses.
Okay.
Well, you said, it's
understandable to a certain degree. Okay. Thank you, Kirby.
Yeah, where's your sound effect?
Brace yourselves, everyone.
No, I really enjoyed both of them. I do agree with Kirby that the first one was stronger, but the second one had so much that had, you know, a lot of depth and all that going on in it, but there was also so much humor to balance it that I thought that the two books complemented each other. I think Michelle Gomez did an amazing job. She still, you know, has me not knowing which way, you know, she's going to go in terms of support the Doctor or turn on him. I think that the actress playing Bill did an amazing job.
Pearl Mackey.
Thank you. Pearl Mackey did an amazing job in this. I think Capaldi, you know, this is the best.
Capaldi.
Shut up, Kirby.
This is the best script he's ever been given, and he shines in it, you know, as a result. My only question is, and I was asking myself through this whole thing, was why do we have two masters? I mean, was there a point to it other than the John Sims master constantly, I don't know, like redoing himself? Did you notice that? His beard was getting darker. Mm. His hair was getting darker. He was putting eyeliner on.
He did say that he wanted to go a bit more retro, didn't he?
Yeah, this is more Delgado master that he's heading towards, and I don't understand that. Other than everything that they could cram into this, and actually all season long, they've been cramming in references to classic Who, you know, we've all been picking up on it. And I think Moffat is very, very smart. I think this is his way of pulling back in everybody who's a classic fan, who's pretty much given up on watching New Who, because most of the people have been so frustrated with the New Who scripts and all that. You know, it's like many of them have turned it off. Well, this is his way of pulling everybody back in. And I think it's working, because I'm seeing comments by people who are saying, oh, boy, I'm back to watching Who again. Boy, this is wonderful. Mm. So he's succeeding in doing that. Mm. And I wonder how much of a clean slate he's going to hand over to it's Chibnall?
Chris Chibnall.
The new showrunner. I mean, after Capaldi has said, he said in many interviews, well, we've already filmed the regeneration scene. Well, how many near regenerations have you seen? You know, so do we know for real that there's going to be a regeneration at the Christmas episode?
Yeah, it'll be disappointing if we don't get a full-blown one, wouldn't it? Be the same when Ian Smith regenerated into
him. Capaldi will come back. You know, we saw the master get shot in the back, and she was looking pretty dead. But, you know,
well, Smith came back in the first part of series.
I'm so sad about that.
Another master. We see Bill taking off with Heather. Might she be back?
Yeah,
you know,
hopefully.
So I don't know how much of a clean slate he's turning over to.
I don't think she will, but hopefully she will.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, summary is these last two episodes have been the best of this whole season and any previous Capaldi
story. Kirby is celebrating.
I think
Isabella wants to say something. I was just guessing.
I kind of agree with Mary. We don't know if the master's gonna regenerate and why were there two masters? But also, why were there two doctors?
Huh?
But why were there two doctors? End?
Oh, you mean at the end of the episode? Talking, very good point.
At the very end, you're talking
the first doctor and the 12th doctor. Yeah, that's what she's saying. Christmas special, because that's what it is. It's a precursor to the Christmas special, which you'll probably go to bed and not bother watching. Yeah, all very exciting stuff. Now, Debbie, you said there was a load of comments coming up on the video thread. Would you mind?
Well, I've got rid of the video link.
You unhelpful person. Let's go for what your dad said first, and I'll see if I can find some comments.
Okay, this is what he said about last Saturday's. I watched last Saturday's Doctor Who build as the scariest ever. Shouldn't have built my hopes up. Most unnecessary, dragged out into two parts ever, and as you may imagine, it's up against some pretty stiff competition. The idea is good, but Larry Niven was writing about this in the 70s in the short story clipped There Is a Tide, I think. Is it possible to have an episode without some kind of nod towards what's-her-name sexual orientation? Shall probably watch it on Saturday, then write a stiff letter on cardboard to the Times. And then about last night's, a great episode last night with clever dialogue. Can't wait to Christmas.
I can wait to it, but I'm looking forward to it. Right, so anybody picked up on what the Facebook thread's doing before I look myself?
Dad, I've got it.
I'm going to
go on then, Kirby.
I'm going to go to bed.
Okay. Let's see. Ashley Hughes said hello. Which order?
Isabella's going to bed. Good night, Isabella.
Are these in?
Oh, okay.
Bye.
Shut the door.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, go on.
Where's she going?
Going to bed.
Thanks, bye-bye.
It's too early. It's only 3:11 in the afternoon.
It's 8:10, and she wants to look at YouTube stuff for a bit before she goes to sleep. She's got school tomorrow.
Ashley also said, walk past Russell T. Davis in Cardiff buying a classic Doctor Who DVD.
Ooh.
Alan T. Butcher said, if I hadn't seen Time Flight, I'd be bragging about it, too. What?
It's not that bad.
I love the way you look in your hand there. You're looking in your hand there, Andy. I thought you were about to start regenerating there.
Terry Miles said, as the doctor changed the preference to two hearts, why did the Cybermen go after the humans at the farm? Good point.
Well, maybe he didn't change it. Maybe he just added it.
No, he added it. He added an extra heart to the parameters. You're right there, Deb. That was a really weird thing to say. Aww. You're leaning backwards, and it was just it was stuck on you leaning backwards, and then suddenly Tom appeared.
Very nice profile, Debbie.
Jeff says, Jeff Waddle, why didn't Water Woman come back and save Bill when she died on the spaceship?
There you go.
It's the same spaceship. She did, eventually.
Eventually. Good point. That is a very good point, actually.
By the way, I like Jeff Waddle's cosplay of me.
Have
not seen it?
No.
Yeah. Jeff Waddle cosplayed me. It's rather good.
Okay, I'll have to have a look at that later, then. Yeah. Right. Anything else, Kirby?
Alan T. Butcher says, a black lesbian in white face can be a Cyberman, too. I guess he's referencing something we said.
Yeah.
Lori Nix, hi all, late to the feed, but here, still recovering from the season ender, so many anguished feels. Ian Kirk has a couple of things. And by the way, don't forget, when you play his audio, play the one today, not the one from last week.
The fanfic writers are going to have a hilarious time, because also they've got Clara and me from last season, and now they've got Heather and Bill from this season.
You were in last season?
Fanfic writers are going to go berserk over this.
And Ian said, nitpicking in the second part, the doctor said the cyber programming originally had humans defined as having one heart. In the first part, the Cybermen took Bill, although she had no heart. What?
No, they picked her up before she had a heart blown away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the end, Stephen Moffat has taken away all the characters he has created. Yeah.
Quite possibly. Okay. By the end, by Christmas is done, all the characters that Moffat's created will be gone.
Someone who I've never seen comment before, May Giardina, said, I know it's a bit sentimental, but don't like the idea of him being all alone when he regenerates.
He hasn't regenerated yet.
But Alan T. Butcher points out that he's not on his own at the end. He's with the Doctor.
But he's not regenerated yet.
Yeah.
So I presume he's going to still get a bit of a, as he said, his reward And that will be the Christmas special.
Ian says Bill and Heather is much like Clara and Lady Me, and that's true. I mean, they're both, there's these pairs of women out gallivanting around the universe.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
Could show up anytime.
Yeah.
May also says Clever Girl.
Yeah.
That's all the comments on the live feed.
Okay.
There's also comments on. There's comments on the
If you're a doctor's companion, you can end up living forever. You know, not a bad thing if you can get it.
Yeah, if you're a Moffat companion. But as far as him getting rid of all the characters he created, he didn't create the John Sim Master. That was a Russell T. Davis creation, although there was a bit of a Moffat's first dabblings in as a showrunner was John Sim's sort of previous appearance in the show.
Amy and Corey just went back in time.
Yeah.
There's also feedback on the two different feedback threads. Yeah. Actually, I think there's feedback on the thread from last week, too. So I'm tired of reading. Someone else needs to read.
Okay, I'll see what I can find for you, Kirby. You're on your version of the thing. James Robert Billington says a great second part to the story, but ultimately left more questions than it gave answers. The Doctor's refusal to regenerate surely has to have some huge payoff, and the ending will have me pulling my hair out until Christmas. Yeah, I'm not too sure about this. I'm fed up regenerating. You should be grateful you've got a load of regenerations to have, you know. It was a bit Tennant-y, wasn't it? I don't want to go. And he did say, I don't want to go.
So, he did say that.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously he's been this version of the Doctor for an extremely long time in his lifetime, but I think I don't understand that sort of not wanting to change or being fed up with changing, etc., etc. Laurie Nick says, wowzers, I'm exhausted. Sensory overload. Keep flashing on Missy's dying swan moment among the foliage, and that's only a teensy bit of the show. Reese Parton, who's that?
Reese, never heard of him.
Oh, he's just posting an excuse. I haven't seen the episode, but have encountered many spoilers. But even the colour grading in this scene feels like a classic series. Those sort of referential elements make me so happy and so excited. Well, he didn't like the classic series that much. Jeff Waddle sent. So that means
he left us.
He sent me lots of feedback. We'll look at that in a minute. Then Ian Kirk says much the same thing. Joshua Dybal says... he's done it as well. It's all coming in. People just telling me they've emailed me. The email address, by the way, at the website was wrong. It had been wrong for such a long time. I'm very disappointed nobody mentioned it now. I've just seen Geoff Waddle's cosplaying of Andy Nunny. Very amusing. If you join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, you can see the live video feed and see posts like this. Aren't they fun, everyone?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nobody comments on your version of the.
I can't see any on my. I can't even see my version of it, mate.
It's a little bit down. It's a little bit further down.
Well, further down from yours?
Yes.
Okay.
Because no one's commenting on yours.
So mine, there's no point in me looking at it then, surely. Let's see if we can look at some feedback.
Let's go back to last week. So let me see if I can find last.
Oh, sorry, Kirby. You go back to last week's then, yes.
Let's see. Paul go.
Gobert, yes.
Yes, slow burner, tense, edgy, and what an end. Just what an end. Wow, excellent series throughout. That's referring to last week.
Yeah.
Debbie Melrose, I don't know who she is. I didn't know we're recording tomorrow morning. My feedback, fantastic, brilliant. I laughed, I cheered, and knew exactly where Moffat was going with it, but enjoyed the journey immensely. Why not write like this for Capaldi before now?
I've heard that somewhere before.
Laurie Nix said what she said. Jeff Waddle said episode 11, outstanding. Episode 12, what a blooming mess.
All right.
He said that before seeing episode 12.
Okay.
And I responded with a quote from Razor, from Mr. Razor. Positive attitude will help with the horror to come.
Yeah.
I mentioned that I was completely oblivious to Razor's being played by Sim doing his best Fagin. When he pulled off the disguise, I let out a whoop almost as loud as when Sir Derek Jacobi.
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 declared, "I am the master."
Did you see Billy Kirkbride's post that, yay, okay, now that's over. I'm looking forward to getting on with the journey.
Yeah, that would be in a few weeks' time.
Robert McIntyre said his wife totally called it. She said it was his eyes that were the giveaway.
Yeah.
Laurie Nix, I kept trying to place the actor by his eyes. He looked so familiar that suddenly thought, duh, of course. And then, beware, Bill. The first sight, I was fooled. Joshua Dival says, I think that was possibly one of the best episodes of Doctor Who I've ever watched. I've been very critical lately. Not too hopeful for next week's, though, going by the trailer, the one we just watched. Really creepy and great story. Can't believe I didn't spot the master. Doe! And I mentioned I was trying to make a conversion joke when I was asking last week.
Yes.
And Dr. Phil asked, what format will we be converted to? So I said, wire recording.
Ah, well, is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Can I just say that obviously some people sussed out it was the master, some people didn't, but we knew John Sim was going to be in the story. So it's just a shame that it may have been tainted, some people working it out earlier. If they hadn't mentioned somewhere on the line that Sim was in this, it would have had a bigger impact to more people, I think, the big reveal that it was the master.
Yeah.
It's a shame they have to do that, but there you go. Yes?
I read an interview with Sim that he showed up at the read-through with the beard.
Oh.
And that's why they decided to... It was just his idea. Mm. So he made the suggestion that
he's a fan. The retro
beard, so
he's a big fan anyway, so yeah.
Yes. Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's move on to more feedback.
I wish they had not shown him in trailers and all that, because it would have been more fun to have him revealed. Yeah.
Okay, Jeff Waddle says, I noticed that you were doing both episodes together, but here are my thoughts on episode 11 anyway. Taken as a single episode, it is by far and away my favourite one since the series came back. There weren't many surprises in it, which makes it all the more remarkable that I was gripped from start to finish due to the performances and the way it looked. Finally, we get to see the best Cyberman story, Cyberman in a story where it shows the body horror of them instead of just being robots. 10 out of 10. Makes you wonder when they can make stuff like this. Why Capaldi has been so poorly served with middle-of-the-road garbage. Now, this is very reminiscent of the Peter Davison era. I wouldn't say all of Davison's era is middle-of-the-road rubbish, but the first two series of Davison weren't that good, and then you were served up with his third series, which was amazing, and culminated in the case of Androzzardi. So it was a similarity there for me. Sorry, back to Jeff Waddle. Of course, the reason for me sending... this in, Andy, you're rustling your microphone.
Sorry,
he's always doing that.
Of course, the reason for me sending this in is because I've seen the trailer for episode 12. It looks like another finale that's going to be a different kind of story from the preceding episode. And given that it has the new Cybermen and they all seem to be able to fly now, they were able to fly in their previous appearance, I think. It looks crap. Oh well, bring on Chris Marshall and bring on the First Doctor.
Didn't he?
And then he says, and it's titled "The Doctor Falls Down to the Ground." I added that bit. It's a shame she's not here. He says, "If I had sent this message last night, I'd have said an easy 9 out of 10. Great moments, good acting, excellent dialogue between the main characters, a cracking final 5 minutes. I watched it again this morning. It isn't bad. My goodness. Make sure I read that right. Once everything settles down, you realise that it's not half as good as it seemed to be, with only great character pieces holding together a basic plot we've had before in that awful Matt Smith finale. And as for the awful awful water monster nonsense rescuing Bill, John Sim was much better for being not so over the top in as his RTD awful Master Race story. but they went too far in toning him down and really could have not been in this at all. Why the hell were there silver Cybermen corpses in little houses on the prairie level? Where did they come from before the Cybermen arrived? That's a question mark. When did the Mondasian Cybermen learn to fly? Why did the Doctor start regenerated before the end? Why was he willing to jump into a rift only 2 weeks ago to give up his life to stop the haggis-eating monster? But now it's I Don't Want to Go, part two. Better than what I thought, but not as good as what it could have been. Capaldi has, for me, been the best actor, classic and new series, to play the role. And while there have been some brilliant episodes, he's been hamstrung by poor choices in the writing. Oh, how I wish this was his first season and they'd got rid of Clara seasons ago. She never fitted him. She didn't fit Matt Smith either. And he was screwed with all her nonsense of a storyline. I'm looking forward to the Christmas one, which fan wouldn't be. But my goodness, I may well smash my TV in when she makes an appearance, because you know it's happening. Still, the third best series since it came back, though, and after 5 and 1. The rest I could take or leave, mostly leave. Now, he's got a good point, because obviously we've heard Jenna Coleman's supposed to be coming back, and it's likely to be a similar thing that...
Really? Is this another spoiler thing?
Well, maybe so. It's not guaranteed. I thought she was going to be back in this series.
I haven't heard that. No, I heard she was coming back in this series,
but she never did. So, obviously, but we're thinking she might make a cameo in the Christmas special, rather like Karen Gillan did when the 11th Doctor left. Similar sort of, like a dream sequence thing. Possibly. But on the other hand, she might not.
No.
What I need to do is time it for when Victoria's being filmed, so she just can't do it. Then Jeff Waddle sent in a PS. So we get a 3-episode arc about the monks, and it seems the only purpose was to somehow give the Doctor back his sight and somehow allow Bill to build up resistance to be hypnotised or at least taken over. Get stuffed. Sorry about the hiccup in the middle of that. I had a bit of a hiccup there. We got Joshua Dybul.
He does remind me of that awful last episode of Matt Smith.
Mm. Yeah.
Wooden Cyber and that. Oh, that was horrible.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah.
What, the last episode of Matt's? Oh, yes, of course. Yes, Cyberman with that. With the wooden Cyberman as well.
Yeah, the wooden Cyberman. That
was a dreadful episode.
That came so soon after one of the best stories ever.
Yeah.
Day of the Doctor. I mean, I still love Day of the Doctor.
Oh, there's some parts of that last Smith episode I didn't mind, to be fair. But you're right, it wasn't the best. You could have gone out on a better
one. It's not one that I'll go back and rewatch.
Maybe I'll have to rewatch at some point.
It was probably his worst.
Right, Debbie, where we haven't got any feedback that you would normally read from Alan T. Butcher, so I'm going to give you this one from Joshua Dybul to read, just so you've got something to do in this episode.
You sending it now?
I've sent it.
Hello. Okay.
Hello.
Right.
Oh, that was an interesting blink from your phone. It's like something blinked.
My phone?
Yeah.
I'm not used to this one yet. I'm using Tom's old iPhone 6 because I thought I'd lost mine, and turns out I hadn't. It was in my in-law's garden, but we'd already got the phone company kill it. So I'm now on a borrowed phone from it.
Kill it!
We're sidetracking.
Okay. Hi all, missed you. Kiss, kiss, kiss. My review, part one. After seeing part one, I immediately rated this as one of the best episodes of Doctor Who I've watched, brackets, ever, close brackets. Loved the creepiness and the story was superb. Reminded me of Silent Hill and provided a scariness we rarely see in Doctor Who due to its required universal rating. And what an ending. Surely one of the best cliffhangers we've ever had. Now get out of that, Doctor. Part two. I expected it to be a letdown, especially after watching the trailer, but was pleasantly surprised. Great idea to see Bill visually in her normal look, so you could really content to her feelings, so dire as they were. It seemed completely fitting that the Master and Missy would end up stabbing each other in the back. What a pity the Doctor might have never known that Missy may have changed her mind. Superb ending to the story. Great idea for the pilot to rescue Bill from her plight. Totally feasible and provided the happy ending needed. I loved hearing Capaldi come out with lines from other recent Doctors just before they regenerated. And so good to see the old man back again. About time. Oh, how I wish it was really William Hartnell, though. I'm now feeling positive that the Christmas episode will be a treat. And then we enter all new territory as Doctor Who gets its reboot. Who knows after that? I'm sceptical, as I've not been very impressed with Chris Chibnall's previous work. But you've got to give everyone a chance. I may later regret those words. My only real gripes were seeing the other models of Cybermen jumping into. I think it would have been better to stick to the Mondasian Cybermen throughout. The newer ones just aren't so scary, and the reason for their appearance seemed contrived. Having the surprises ruined by knowing in advance that all the following would be arriving, the Mondasian Cybermen, John Six, and the First Doctor. Still think they could have kept this under wraps. The subsequent publicity would have been huge, if not bigger. Such a shame. But I know that's a long and often debated story. But otherwise, 11 out of 10, and looking forward to what's to come, smiley face. All the best, Josh and Cromer.
Thank you, Josh. Brilliant stuff.
I agree, too. I wish they'd stop giving things away.
Yeah, I agree, too.
Too much now. No suspense anymore.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Apart from the fact we still don't know who the new Doctor is yet, and I'll be absolutely delighted if they do the clever thing they used to do in Coronation Street, if they have a big... big sort of story ender, they film a few different versions of it so as nobody actually really knows who it's going to be, and they actually cut in at the end of it the regeneration that we're going to find out who the new Doctor is at the time. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'd be delighted if it does. Yes.
Did you hear that when they do all that outside filming for the last week's episode, and Sim was there in his Fagin outfit, and nobody recognized him. They had the public was watching. Nobody recognized him.
Wow. Cool. Thank you for that. Right, we've got this bit of feedback.
I am Bill Potts. Actually, this is Ian Kirk. World Enough in Time by Stephen Moffat. The title is from a 17th century poem by Andrew Marvel. George, the blue man, kills Bill.
I'm not dead!
I'm a Hitchhiker's Guide reference. T on a spaceship. The top of the spaceship, where the Doctor is closest to the black hole, which threw me on first watching, as I know that gravity slows down time. A spaceship would be ripped to tiny pieces by the tidal force of a gravity field that strong. There was a creepy hospital in The Empty Child, the Are You My Mummy episode, which was also a Moffat story. Bill is cooking at the beginning, then Razor is cooking later. Razor lulls Bill into a false sense of security, so he can arrange for her to be converted. Bill trusts the Doctor and he gets her shot. Then you trust Razor, and he gets her converted.
I said both
of the Master disguises himself because he used to be the Prime Minister. I can imagine a couple of British Prime Ministers using a similar ploy.
Had we but world enough in time, this coyness lady were no crime. We would sit down and think which way to walk and pass our long love's day.
The Doctor Falls by Stephen Moffat. What if a spaceship had a big radio dish and the Doctor fell off it, like the Fourth Doctor? Souffle girl imagined she was still human, like builders here. The Doctor hates guns, yet his sonic screwdriver is a gun and he kills Cybermen with it. There are more references to previous stories. The biggest is meeting the First Doctor. I think that could turn out to be a hallucination caused by near regeneration. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank
you, Ian. See Ian.
Shall we play all the feedback that you said not to play?
No.
No.
it is not a hallucination. He's actually gone back to Antarctica.
Yeah. Yeah, he's bumped into his old self. Well, the TARDIS has taken him there, essentially.
Right.
Yeah. I suppose we could look. Oh, Debbie, my lovely Debbie Melrose, could look at some news.
Okay.
I'll load the page up, because what we like to do is the press reaction bit, don't we, darling? That's your favourite bit.
That's my favourite bit, yeah.
So I'm going to just sit back and listen to a master stroke missy at work.
By the way, Master, have you noticed? I'm now using a single computer to do all this stuff.
It's what we've all been doing for years. You're just doing now. I'd love to hear the advancements in technology.
And how, pray tell, could we have noticed?
Well, for instance, when I was looking up dematerialization circuits and posting pictures, I was doing all that stuff on a single computer without any dropouts, weird share moments, none of that. Share is gone. You'll never hear share again.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Well, that's good. Sorry, Debbie, if you wouldn't mind.
Problem occurred with this web page, so it was reloaded, apparently. Ah, here we are. The Dr. Falls reaction. A heartbreaking spectacular is how Digital Spy regarded the episode, singling out Peter Capaldi for praise. His "Where I Stand is Where I Fall" speech is quite possibly the actor's finest moment on the series to date, with the Doctor almost in tears arguing why he always has to stand to fight. Just about pips even the famous anti-war rant from the Zygon inversion.
I was thinking about that, yeah.
Yeah. The Mirror felt the episode was an immensely satisfying conclusion with great storytelling, epic performances. With all the teasers, build-up and trailers, it would have been so easy for the Doctor Falls to be a failure of a finale. Clever storytelling and tremendous acting. Radio Times also singled out the performances as one of the strong points about the episode. Capaldi, Sim and Gomez are, of course, divine together. John Sim's master is an impeccable bastard to the end, but not the loon of 7 years ago. Michelle Gomez is simply superb as the duplicity and the soul-searching and laughing at her own tragedy. The meeting of the two masters and the Doctor is highlighted by The Guardian. I was overjoyed on watching the confrontation between the three Time Lords, that there was no soundtrack aside from the dialogue and some gentle bird song. It was an example of less is more. Yes, I've noticed that. There wasn't so much music. The Telegraph also enjoyed the role of the two masters in the story together. Sim and the magnificent Michelle Gomez as Missy, who is a later version of the same rogue Time Lord. Okay, really? I don't know why I point that out. Yes, made a fantastic duo as they quibbled over whether to stand with the Doctor or continue their villainous ways. IGN also enjoyed the dynamic between the two masters. Den of Geek paid tribute to Capaldi's performance. Majestic, wonderful, brilliant Peter Capaldi. If you needed a reminder of just how much he's going to be missed when he finally departs Doctor Who at the end of this year, his outstanding work here was precisely that. AV Club called it a pitch-perfect finale. Vulture also paid tribute to the lead actor. That speech, that grand speech he gives to the two masters. Slightly bucking the trend, Ars Technica enjoyed the episode but felt it was a little cramped. Plenty of action squeezed into an hour of solid telly. But to pack it so tightly, not only with the battle and also with the onslaught of the Mandassian Cybermen, a heartbroken Cyberbill or Robomop, a small cast of country bumpkins living on a spaceship meant the whole thing felt a little suffocating at times. I kind of disagree with that.
Yes.
If it wasn't that packed, we probably would have said it was a bit dull. Finally, Flickering Myth thought it was a fitting end to the series. Our main cast of Capaldi, Lucas and Mackie have been a fantastic trio within the four outer walls of the TARDIS. They've gelled exceptionally well. Peter Capaldi is a magnificent Doctor, a person who captures the wisdom, madness, caring and frustration of a 2,000-year-old Time Lord. Matt Lucas's wit is spot on for the TARDIS, but when needed, a look can make you wonder. And along with this, we have the brilliant Pearl Mackie, who is a blast of pure energy in the companion lineup with emotion, humour and humanity. All three have made Series 10 something wonderful to watch.
Yeah, that's really good stuff, isn't it? Oh, I can hear myself. How weird.
2.75 million viewers.
Not the greatest, but, you know, on the larger scheme of things.
A quarter of everyone watching.
Yeah, it was quite a hot day Saturday. It was absolutely steamingly hot, in fact, in the afternoon. People were probably, if they weren't at home watching TV, were down the beach or out in the back garden doing barbecues.
I was, I was out for dinner with some work colleagues, and then we I sat in the garden till like 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I was at a wedding, so I basically turned off all phones so not to get spoiled, because I knew that could happen. So I could watch it about, we got home about 10, we start watching Doctor about 10:30 in the evening, and finished at 11:30. But that rather indicates, because very tired, but the story was so gripping, and there's another word I was thinking of at the time. It basically had me on the edge of my seat, literally, in fact, you know, under those circumstances. The only thing that would keep me awake under those circumstances is a really, really, really good gripping episode. Even if you watch it a second time and see a few more flaws in it, like Jeff Waddle did. There's a lovely shot in The Doctors Will Return at Christmas of Capaldi and David Bradley. It's an absolutely gorgeous picture of them two together. After that, it's just little previews of the episode we just watched, the Doctor Who magazine with the Master and Missy on the front cover, or as it says, the two Masters. So other than that, really, there's not much we can report. Doctor Who was number 26 on the 18th of June in the top 30 TV shows. Anyway, sorry, Andy, were you going to say something?
No, is Andy still there?
I'm still here, yes.
Yeah. Didn't you hear the plane going fast?
We heard the airplane going overhead.
Yeah, I was like, is he still there?
He's listening. Andy has always been a listener to the show, so when he's not partaking, he's just reveling in the fact that he can actually listen and input. Do you get wrapped up in listening to us sometimes, Andy?
Sometimes, yes.
So even though he's been yawning for the last hour and a half, he's actually been kept
he's
awake
still
by
there.
Yeah. He did fall asleep.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
He said he didn't.
We would have heard.
Right, I'm just going to mention our sponsors, because we haven't...
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Don't know, is it?
And the Vasi.
I think it's whowon.co.uk.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wish I could report some stuff that's happening at the Isle of Wight Comic Con, because I have been given some background information, but unfortunately I don't think I'm privy to let everybody know it. But I know that they have announced a few celebrities for it, not Doctor Who ones.
And you know them, but you can't tell us.
Unfortunately, it's not really celebrities at the moment. We've had no names. It's
not
just
big names, no. Not big names, but there's still...
Extenders, you know, it's that's
no, it's more than Nicole. There's people from all sorts of genres coming along to it. So, but when we've got the full lineup, we'll speak about it. But it's all a very exciting event, and there's lots of interest in it. I think it's going to be great myself. But I have been told of their efforts to get a big Doctor Who star at the convention. So, watch this space. But I have suggested, if they can't get a really mega big Doctor Who star, to get a big one, maybe a companion or something like that. And I've got a few contacts in those areas. So, yeah, keep watching the Isle of Wight Comic Con.
Gareth say that he'd be there. Maybe we could pull him in.
Maybe so. But like I say, it's not just for people living on the island. If you want to come over to the Isle of Wight Comic Con, you'll get to meet me and Debbie.
I'd love to.
That'll put people off, wouldn't it?
Send me a plane ticket, I'll be there.
Yes. Exactly.
God, it's going to be. I mean, it doesn't matter. For me personally, it doesn't matter if we haven't got big slebs there. It's a lovely event for cosplayers and fans of all sorts of comic-related things to get together and just... socialise in some ways. I think it's fantastic. I'm not really bothered about the big celebrity thing. It'd be nice to get some big celebs, wouldn't it? But hey, I think it'd be great.
We'll see what happens.
It's basically the first, isn't it? You don't expect anything too sort of fireworky from the first one. I think it's just to see how popular it is, and if it works quite well, then maybe in subsequent years they can get some bigger names. I think it's a thing we need on the island itself. Right then. So, whowon.co.uk. Latest product.
Says whowon.co.uk.
Ooh, you've gone all funny, Kirby. Have you moved away from your microphone?
He stood up, yeah.
Yes, I have.
Well, sit down then. Earlier on, I took a screenshot of your backside. We've had the midriff, shall we say, of Andy. We've had the upper midriff of Debbie. And now we've had your backside. Anybody else want to show off a bit of a body part?
I'm trying to find the Time Monster.
Okay. Right, so Doctor Who Magazine 514 is out. I mentioned this just a minute ago. There's also a special Adventures in Space edition. of the same publication. We've got Doll's House, which is a Torchwood story made by Big Finish, and Delta and the Bannerman, which is an audiobook by Malcolm and Cole at 1999. And also, I will say that whowon.co.uk are Doctor Who books. Doctor Who book specialists. Shush. The Doctor Who. Shut up. Doctor Who book specialists. There's things coming out as well soon on pre-order. The Companion Chronicles First Doctor box set 2. I've got a Companion Chronicles somewhere. I don't know where it is in the house. Corpse Day, Torchwood story. High Price of Parking, a 7th Doctor story. Mavellian Grave, a 4th Doctor story. And Series 10, Volume 1, Blu-ray. Which I think if you're going to choose a part of the series to buy, you probably buy Series 2, which is also available soon. Apparently, it says released 2017, so they haven't got a fixed date for that one yet. But you can get Shadow Planet World Apart, so which is a 7th Doctor story, Subterranea, a 4th Doctor story, Torchwood Cascade, CD Ripter, I don't know what that means, a Torchwood story, like I said, and a TARDIS Umbrella, amongst other things. Perfect to get your Doctor Who fan a gift of. Right, lavazi.co.uk are great friends, and they have some rather marvellous stuff, especially if you want to add to your cosplay of Doctor Who. Scarves, which are a sort of essential for any Doctor Who fan, even if you don't like the Fourth Doctor. I think they're basically a trademark of the Doctor as a character. But you can get the Seventh Doctor scarves and Paisley scarves and love. Oh dear, what on earth was that? Did somebody break wind?
It's a bus going past.
It sounded like somebody breaking wind.
I think it was Arthur Dead over there.
Yeah, but was the bus powered? Was a bus powered by some sort of methane substance?
I'm not quite sure what bus he's driving.
Keep it to your side of the pond, please.
Well, buses don't go down our road. I can assure you that it wouldn't fit down it for a start. We got Star Trek products as well. They do say the umbrella, the Live Long and Prosper umbrella, and the Live Long and Prosper scarf have sold out, but you can still get the blue, yellow, and red Star Trek logo umbrella for $26.99. And you can get the Ships of Line scarf, which is beautiful as well, for $24.99. Sherlock items as well, and just basic fashion stuff for men and women, available from lavazi.co.uk. Our very good friends and sponsors of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Right, next week, if we can do it next week, I think we can.
I can.
I'm at a show next week, but I think it finishes early enough for me to get home to do the show. We're going to do a sort of recap on Series 10. So if you want to think about your favourite episodes in order of preference, that'd be quite useful for us, because we're going to talk about that. And we'll also do a quiz thing. It's called You Won't Get This One on the last two episodes of the series. So that's going to be the subject matter before we re-embark on the journey. Yeah. Either the week after that or the week after that. Yes, Kirby? Yes.
I have a suggestion that we start watching Time Monster now.
Yes.
I think that's because it's 6 episodes.
I agree.
Yeah, I just found the DVD and brought it up. That's interesting. Blech. Blech. It's a 6 episode story. It's a 6 episode story, but it's got all of the extras and everything on it's a single disc release.
Yes.
And yet they've managed to put quite a number of extras on it.
Well, yeah, I don't know how that works sometimes, because you do get that, you know, a 6-part story on 2 or a 6-part story on 1, but maybe they just found a better way of compressing things.
Yeah, maybe some of these extras are short.
Maybe so.
Yeah, the extras are, well, we can discuss that when we actually, good grief, what? I've never seen that story, and I started the DVD up, and there's some sort of white thing flapping around.
You'll find out.
It's a time monster.
It's a time monster, essentially, yes. You'll find out, yes.
You're spiked out.
Yeah, you like your spoilers, don't you, Kirby? Okay, let's see where we are with the Facebook feed before we go.
You think we're kidding? That is the Time Monster.
So like I say, our listeners, viewers, we're looking at doing the show next week, so fingers crossed that'll actually happen. Let's see what else we've got on the Facebook.
So we would likely do Time Monster the week after? That's why I'm saying start watching now.
Yes, start watching another Time Monster now to do it the week after, yes. Everybody all right with that?
Yeah, 2 weeks, not bad.
Good.
Yeah.
We've got some stuff through. I don't know which bits have already been read. We've got, did we do the Ian Curt nitpicking bit? Then we got, yeah, I've done that bit. I'm just, blah, blah, blah. Did we do May Giardina's comment?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Ian Kirk, Bill and Heather are much like Clara and Lady Me. We've done that, haven't we?
Yes, yeah, we did that. Commentary.
How about John Nestor? Oh, sorry,
John
Nestor.
You were paying attention.
I was. Shut your face. John Nestor, excellent episode. I was exhausted. Loved all the references to past doctors and companions.
I read that one, too.
All right. Yeah, the last one that came up then, the last one that came up was... second to last. Laurie Nix. Adam and Debbie aren't celebrities.
Oh.
Of course they are.
Well, Debbie isn't.
Terry
Miles says, yes, they are known in Australia and to USA. They are known worldwide. Well, don't know about Debbie, but yeah.
There you go. international podcast.
That's it. Okay, so thanks everybody for partaking in this finale special of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And tune in again next week for more stress, or basically more live me getting stressed, which is what we've been doing for the last 7 years. Goodbye!
Bye!
Bye, y'all.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants!
By Doctor Who Podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.